He's bad. He's beautiful. He's crazy. It's
Rich Eisen.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
That is the new slogan for RES Consulting.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Is he comeback player of the year?
Russ, he's 34-1, Russell Wilson.
Comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
See, people are even thinking it's possible.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Actor, Omar J. Dorsey. Fox Sports rules analyst, Dean Blandino. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. And also Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners later on because it's your God-given right to listen on demand as well as watch on demand with the Roku channel Rich Eisen Show collection page. We're also on youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Some select clips are placed there for your viewing pleasure. Same thing with our podcast as well. Overreaction Monday, already less than 24 hours in, over 100,000 views. We won over 650,000 subscribers to our YouTube page overnight. We appreciate you for that. Later on today, that's where you can find the latest edition of What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Peter King will be the guest. The Hall of Famer PK will be on with Amy and Susie right there. So be sure to be on the lookout for all of that. Three guests today on the program. We'll get to that a little bit in a second. Good to see you. However, first, Chris Brockman.
Rich, what's up, brother?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. You've been running around a lot pre-show. Jeez. Everything good? You're good?
Yeah, I'm fine. I went in the back to make a little coffee.
Very good.
5 pounds.
Oh, not great.
Yeah.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. What's going on?
Well, Rich, just like CM Punk, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. So let's do
hey.
This today. Right.
Whoa. I do like that.
Whoa.
Because I'm assuming I'm getting a cut.
Well, I mean, it's okay, the very good. Eisen Show.
TJ Jefferson, everybody. Yeah. Thank you.
Godfather.
Very good. 12 weeks in to the NFL campaign now with Monday Night Football in the books. And that's where I care to leave that game. But right. and you now know who is in the mix, who is not. You also know who are the contenders. As to use the Bill Parcells phrase, you are what you are. And after 12 weeks, as Bill would always say, this is where the season begins. This is when the weather gets colder, the stakes get higher, the throats get tighter, and the other orifices also begin to pucker, and it's time to win or go home. And that's what the NFL is all about. And in the same way, after 12 weeks, we also know what the league is. We also know what the trends are. We also know what to expect. And that's what today's show, I guess if there is a theme about it, that's what today's show is about, because part of the running narrative about the league writ large involves officiating. And I think you ask most NFL fans, they will tell you they think officiating is at a low point in terms of accuracy, in terms of consistency, in terms of understandability. And so in hour number three, we've invited, and he has accepted, Fox Rules analyst, former head of NFL refs, Dean Blandino will be here.
Dez caught it.
So we will talk to him about that. Well, not what you're saying, but we'll talk to him about what I was saying when he joins us in hour number three. And the other, I think, aspect about this league that we can talk about is defense is performing a little bit better than one would think. That defense is ruling the day, and that's when, you know, offenses look mediocre, to use Tom Brady's phraseology. And later on in the show, when we delve a little bit deeper into the Monday Night Football game, we'll talk about that. But one other aspect, I think, about this NFL campaign that's becoming stark, certainly since it's in relation to the last couple of years, is coaching and how the intensity and pressure placed on these coaches is maybe at an all-time high, and how these coaches are now viewed by ownership as commodities to swap out if the market is tanking. And it doesn't matter. I know the league at an owner's meeting, I think last year, because Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk is going to join us to have this conversation in short order. He's first up. I do believe it. In an owners meeting, the owners were shown just how much dead money they're paying out. Just how much dead money they're paying out to coaches that they fired and staffs that go out with the coaches that they fire. Just to say to them, hey, you know, you're wondering about bottom lines and how much revenue we're squeezing out of Thursday night football and maybe new partners and Sunday ticket and things of that nature. And, you know, maybe the league office is like, you know, you're in our grill about this subject matter. Well, why don't you take a look at your own books? And nobody in the NFL will be paying out more dead money unless there's some offsets at the University of Nebraska, which I doubt, or what Frank Reich's going to do next. Nobody's paying out more dead money right now than David Tepper, ooh, owner of the Carolina Panthers, who just 11 games into the new regime in Carolina of Frank Reich and the rest of his staff. And if you recall, we were all singing the praises of what staff Carolina had put together with Frank Reich and the young coordinators and people like Deuce Staley and Josh McCown and Jim Caldwell that he had there. And just 11 weeks in, it's like, get out to McCown and Deuce and Frank. And now Caldwell has a special assistance role. And Chris Tabor, the special teams coach, he is now the third interim head coach that David Tepper will be employing in his tenure as owner of the Panthers that began in 2018. He has as many interim head coaches as he does head coaches. And when he hires his next head coach, it will be a seventh.
That's crazy.
Since 2018, four full-time, three interims. And 10 different starting quarterbacks and just a revolving door that he feels Bryce Young is going to stop, one would imagine. And I even said yesterday, good luck getting somebody who wants to uproot their family, come to Carolina and work for you if you're only going to give them 11 games. David Tepper had a press conference this morning in Carolina, and it broke up just about an hour ago. This is what he had to say about potentially having difficulty hiring the next guy because of all the guillotine swings that have happened in Carolina.
Every coach that we've had here has been has had contributions to this organization. Frank has contributions to the organization. Matt had contributions to the organizations. And, you know, quite frankly, if I had my druthers, I'd like to have a coach here for 20 years. I do have patience. I'm just not my reputation away from this game is one for extreme patience. You know, there's no reason why that doesn't, you know, come here, too. It does. Now, that patience comes with good performance and things that you want to see progress be made on in different aspects. And as you know, as I said, you know, I would like to have somebody here for 20, 30 years. I'd like to have somebody that would say eulogy at my funeral in 30 years. Okay, maybe it's 40 years, I hope. But that's what I'd like to have.
And it makes sense. I mean, he understands how continuity in this position is paramount because he was a minority owner of the Steelers. And when he hires his next coach, he will have had more head coaches in his tenure as full-time owner of the Panthers since 2018 than the Steelers have had
since
the beginning of the Nixon administration.
That's insane.
Since 1969, my year of my birth.
Wow.
So that makes sense that he would want that. And I guess with him spending all this dead money and Frank Reich could spend the next 3+ years just ripping off all the dead presidents that he's going to be having of $30 million, I guess he's paying off. And Matt Rhule counting his money, I imagine, whatever is offset or not in Nebraska while he's you know, sitting at home lamenting how Michigan had his plays without really saying it, even though he intimates it every time it's brought up.
Like how you work that in.
Oh, right? Please. I'm really, as you know, I am settling all family business whenever I can. But, you know, the aspect about the interview and the press conference that Tepper had today that makes no sense to me at all is the other aspect of what's going on in the NFL these days, which is the revolving door at quarterback that everybody wants to stop with a top five draft choice if they're unfortunate to be up there, or in their case, spending an insane amount of draft capital to get up in there. And if you choose the wrong one, look out. Because, again, there were 68 different starting quarterbacks in 2022. And through the first 12 weeks of this season, 52. And if the Jets wind up starting Trevor Siemian, you know, I mean, it's just going to keep on going on and on and on. And if the Browns start Flacco, that'd be 53. Cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to keep going on and on. So you got to get this right. And so, of course, with Tepper speaking today, everybody bringing up the conversation that is everywhere that they did not all want Bryce Young, and that some wanted C.J. Stroud. And Tepper said the following that kind of makes no sense. You know, that essentially, I think this is what he's saying, you know, he would have agreed with any consensus because he's letting his people do their jobs while also taking responsibility of the fact that Bryce Young is 1-10 and C.J. Stroud is 6-5, and Stroud is 100% the offensive rookie of the year right now, and nobody's going to beat him out for that. And Young looks so undeveloped and raw that the coach who apparently wanted him just got fired after 11 games. I think this is what he's saying, because the details of it make zero sense. Here was his answer to the question about what was the decision-making process between Young and Stroud back in the day.
No, it's been reported, and we talked about it. Originally, we were going to go to the number two pick, and we thought we'd get CJ because we thought the Texans were going to pick Bryce. And listen, we preferred Bryce. He was our number one pick. We had a lot of conviction. In answer to your questions, it's just not the way the process was done. The process was done the way the process was done. And again, even though if there was a process with five people in the room and four, and the way the votes came in, it was Frank was the first choice, I always could veto that choice. And even if it was Bryce and the votes came in unanimously in this particular case, I could have vetoed that choice. In both cases, I supported both choices. Okay? I'm just going to say that I supported both choices. I supported the coaches. I supported the scouts, their unanimous opinion. And I supported Frank Reich. So whatever's good, bad, or indifferent is ultimately because the buck stops here, and I take full responsibility for everything. But that's the way the process runs. And just one last thing, and then we're going to go here. As far as Bryce Young is concerned, I cannot say this, you know, for myself, and I think everybody in this building would share this sentiment. We are totally confident in that pick. Okay, I think the people that made that pick first, you know, would be totally confident in that. You know, some of them you could ask. Okay. And I think the, and for me, I'm totally confident in agreeing with that pick.
So here's the thing I don't understand.
A lot of words there.
Well, again, like, so they were thinking about trading up to get CJ Stroud at two because they thought the Texans were going to take Bryce Young at one. And at the combine, there was a pure consensus amongst virtually every scout and analyst that I came across that Bryce Young was number one overall in this draft. I mean, that was the general thought about it. He didn't, as you know, throw at the combine. And that's what number one overall picks do because they can. And trust me, we were talking about that quite a bit at NFL Network because we want everybody throwing. Certainly if there's somebody as scrutinized and talked about as Bryce Young. But the Texans had the number two overall pick at that time because Lovie Smith spat his last breath as the Texans head coach by winning a game in week 18 against the Colts, which was, let me get that date, January 8th. So on January 8th, we knew the Bears were picking first and the Texans were picking second. And Frank Reich was hired on January 26th. So who is having the conversations about let's go get CJ Stroud at two? Because the Bears weren't picking two as of the last day of the season. So were you having conversations about let's go get CJ Stroud at two in between weeks 17 and 18 before Frank Reich joined and you had a whole new staff? That makes no sense at all. The process dates don't compute. I don't get that.
I don't get that either.
So if Frank Reich was involved in having conversations about let's go get CJ Stroud at two because you think the Texans are taking Bryce Young at one, the Texans weren't at one after the season ended and well before you hired Frank Reich. What in the heck are we talking about? Am I wrong?
Did he just misspeak?
I don't know.
That was very weird.
Because it was.
Because why would you think that Stroud's definitely going to?
Maybe he meant to say Bears.
Meaning what?
Meaning he thought the Bears were going to take Bryce Young first.
Okay, and so then you go to the Texans and say.
Right.
So that's the way that that squares is that he
that's
misspoke.
That's the way that kind of makes sense. He just misspoke.
He meant to say Bears.
He meant to say Bears instead
why
of Texans.
Why would he think the Bears were taking.
Maybe he had heard they weren't
Young.
Happy with Fields and they were going to move
so
on.
And so they were
going
to call their friends in Houston to say, we'll trade with
we'll
you.
Move up to two. So he just kind of conflated those in exo facto. Well, I don't know.
But the bottom line is there were some people who thought C.J. Stroud was the right guy.
I think
he could have vetoed it and he couldn't
that's
have.
The bigger, that's the bigger takeaway.
I mean, all of this makes very little sense. Is it fixable? 1,000,000%. It's fixable. You got to hit on whatever draft picks you have left. You've got to find the right coach who can connect in a way that clearly Reich wasn't. Because you got to make this kid work. Boy, do you have to. Unbelievably. Unbelievably. The Panthers' lone win of the season came against C.J. Stroud. Can't make it up.
Yes.
Can't
okay.
make it up.
Is that worse, better, whatever word you want to choose, than the Eagles'
losing
only
to Zach,
loss being Zach
Wilson?
Wilson? Yeah.
It's on par.
Yeah.
But, you know, this made no sense when I heard it. Like, I had to listen to that soundbite over and over again and over again. Because at the time of Reich's hiring and before the combine, you know, it was possible. We had Justin Fields at the Super Bowl and talked with him about, hey, are you concerned about being traded away by Chicago because they might take Bryce Young?
Right.
So that makes sense. But that means they'd have to trade up to two. And then you take trading up to two without knowing somebody could trade up and take C.J. Stroud anyway. It wasn't a given. That's like 20/20 hindsight. Trust me on that. As the Jets are still dealing with Zach Wilson being second overall. And the Niners had, no, you know, pretty much an idea that it was Trevor Lawrence and Zach. Wow. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break. Mike Florio, maybe he'll make heads or tails of that. Because again, He had to have misspoken to say that
had
we were going
to
that we thought
have,
yeah. the Bears were taking number one overall. Had to have.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it made no sense.
He's thinking we want to trade the Texans,
man.
That's why he said it.
No sense.
I want to give him that benefit.
Nor does paying $70 million in dead money to two coaches.
Well, that's not smart.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Florio, connoisseur, author, information man, coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. All right, back here on the program, Mike Florio about to join us. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show.
Yeah. I think that covers it.
You know, C.J. Stroud, we were interested in him too.
It's a nice little, like, play the result, so I don't know. So bad.
They could have been interested in him. Like, they literally could have been a full-on conversation. They had to have... Dude, I'm telling you.
Rich, you know what's crazy? I had an idea for a search engine, you know, and I just, like, couldn't get it off the ground.
No. I know what you're saying. No, dude.
Come on.
Jim Mora Sr. has told me multiple times. He said it on this show. He said it on NFL Network. They were grinding tape on Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning to the very end. These decisions are grinded and grinded and grinded down, you know? And so there's no doubt in my mind, you know, and you heard San Francisco chose, landed on Lance draft week. You heard that they've made their decision way before.
I was going to call my computer company Pear.
Nice.
Like, it just
nice.
Didn't, you know
right.
what I mean? I
different.
Just was so late.
Were you thinking about different, you know? Like, what would be the funniest produce item
I was.
For your
well,
gag while you were yes, listening to what
absolutely.
I was saying. You're waiting till I was done
orange.
So you could
yep.
you could do a callback.
I didn't want to do
that.
I didn't want to.
I don't mean to call your
process. I didn't
want to
do strawberry because it's a little too long.
Yeah,
blueberry too long. I went with pear.
Pear.
Yeah.
Because it's apples and pears are kind of, you know, they
right.
go together
they're,
hand in hand.
They're similar.
Yeah,
they're
very
similar. They taste the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so Bryce Young would be the pear.
Right.
And C.J. Stroud would be the apple.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger.
Day.
No, we should stop.
Day,
with
okay.
supplies and solutions
yeah.
for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Guys, I have a book. Do you have a book?
I have a book.
You have a book? TJ, do you have a book over there?
I do have a book, yeah.
Look at us all having a copy of On Our Way Home by Mike Florio just in time for the holidays. You should get it, too. And the author of this, as well as the creator of Pro Football Talk, rejoins us here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. And I also have mine. If you recall last time, I was able to get up and get it because I was not wearing pants. So, and I've got to say this. I got to give you credit.
Yes, sir.
Credit where it's due. Yeah. I offered to send you a handful of copies, but you insisted on making the purchase to support the local animal shelter here that we're giving every penny that I get to. So I appreciate you for doing that.
No, Mike, I appreciate you for doing that as well. And also, again, I'm not the guy, you know, after having written a book back in the day in 2007, I'm truly and always impressed whenever anybody actually takes the time to write something, let alone also having other things in their lives. It ain't easy. So supporting that venture is also very important.
Oh, I appreciate it very much. It's fun. It gives me balance. It balances out my life. I make some time. It's a little harder, I'm learning, during football season when I travel every single weekend. But still, it's a nice balance to what I do every day.
And do you do Lego for that as well? Because I think I saw in your background over your right shoulder. What do we have? What is that Lego that you have behind you, Mike?
That's the Ghostbusters firehouse. And I think the Saturn V rocket is back there. That was part of the pandemic. Yeah. Let's find a way to not lose our freaking minds project.
Oh, dude.
And Lego is very good for that. Lego is very good for Serenity Now. Frank Costanza, what was Serenity Now? I think Lego would have worked better for Lloyd Braun.
Mike Florio, with three children, younger than yours, in my house during the pandemic, we now currently have in our house the Roman Colosseum, the Eiffel Tower, I believe the Sydney Opera House.
You have a lot of Legos.
wait a minute, about four cars. I mean, a roller coaster, an entire amusement park, a merry-go-round. That's what we did. That's what we did. So I'm with
you. And you haven't lived until you step on one of those blocks.
Nope.
All right, let's jump into the news of the day. What did you make of David Tepper's press conference? I was confused when he said that they were thinking of trading up to two because they thought the Texans were going to go one for Young, and they were thinking of going to get Stroud. Suss that one out for me. I got confused by that, Mike.
I was at first two, and then I got to thinking and remembering some of the reporting that happened at the time. And our friend Jay Glazer had reported at the time that initially the Bears were talking about a flip-flop with the Texans so the Texans could get number one, and then Panthers, Bears, 2 and 9. So it would have been end result Texans, Panthers, 1-2. That may be what Tepper was referring to in a roundabout way without providing the background and potentially confusing people who are like, wait a minute, how do the Texans end up drafting before you? That's how. 1-2 flip-flop and then 2-9 trade.
I appreciate that. What did you make of him saying, you know, hey, it's been reported, let's talk about it. Yeah, we were thinking about C.J. Stroud, but we love Bryce Young. What did you make of that, Mike?
Well, there are two important facts that I am going to try to confirm or debunk. And the problem is people aren't going to be willing to say anything on the record. The folks who have been fired have buyouts that hinge on keeping your mouth shut about anything regarding the team or you jeopardize the ongoing payments. But Tepper said two things. One, it was unanimous among the coaches and the scouts that Young was the guy. And two, he didn't chime in. The owner didn't chime in until the very end of the process, until everybody else had weighed in on what they wanted to do. That to me is critical if it's true. And I tend to think it isn't. You know, one of the metaphors I'll use, or simile as the case may be, for somebody who's really rich and very powerful, and it's a twist on the old Steinbrenner calzone thing. Like if you walk in the front door of the building and the receptionist has a bowl of Kit Kats, and the owner has never seen a Kit Kat before and pops one open and eats it and says, that's the best candy I've ever had in my life. That's all he has to say. Everywhere you look from that day forward, every drawer you open, every cabinet that you pull in your direction, Kit Kats are going to be falling out everywhere. That's the power and influence implicit in being a multi-billionaire. You never have to say, go buy Kit Kats. All you have to say in the presence of someone who works for you, I really like that Kit Kat. So that's what I want to know. Did Bryce Young get any sort of direct, indirect, subtle, explicit, whatever comment from David Tepper that caused people to think, well, we know where the boss is going to be at the end of the day, so let's just get there on our own?
So the question I have is, because, you know, Tepper's like, I'd love to have a coach here for 20, 30 years, you know, even saying, speaking at my eulogy. And that does compute, certainly, if he is at all drawing from his previous ownership experience coming from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who will have one fewer coach since 1969 than Tepper's had as Carolina owner when he hires his next coach. So I guess my question for you is this an outlier along with Mark Davis, now that we've had two guys bounced in the middle of the season? Frank Reich is now the first coach in the Super Bowl era to get bounced in back-to-back seasons by two different teams. Are we seeing a new impetuousness of NFL owners right now, Mike? What do you think?
Well, I think we are and I think we aren't, because this isn't a new trend. And Jim Irsay was willing to fire Frank Reich last year during the season, I think because Irsay was hell-bent on giving Jeff Saturday a test drive, and we saw how that went after the first game. That was a win over the Raiders. Every game after that was a loss. But you've got so much money. Number one, there's no salary cap for coaches, so the coaching pay over the last 50 years hasn't risen at the same rate player pay has. You can easily justify in your budget buying out a coach if you want to move on. And I think there's so much pressure and reaction and social media. There's less patience across the board in the NFL. There's less patience with the players. There's less patience with the coaches. And when somebody comes in right away, look at what D'Amico Ryans did this year and what he's doing in Houston. That gets guys fired. Because owners think, all I have to do is make the right hire. If I make the right hire, the right guy at the right time, we're set. And if we get the right quarterback at the right time, we're set. And everybody wants to have that dynasty. Everyone wants to stand out among the other billionaires as the next Robert Kraft figure, the one who can say, look at all these rings we've amassed. So I do think there's less patience than there was, because there's plenty of money to finance this ricocheting from coach to coach to coach.
So where do you place the over underline of number of vacancies we're going to have about, what would you say, 5 weeks from now, Mike?
Well, I was running through it yesterday. Belichick, it's almost a given that he's not going to be back. That would be the biggest shocker at this point, is if he just comes back and it's like nothing ever happened. Brandon Staley seems to be in grave danger. Is there another kind? Ron Rivera seems to be coaching out the string in Washington before major changes are made by new ownership there. And then there are others that kind of fall into the who knows what's going to happen. Let's see how it plays out. How they do down the stretch could be a factor. Matt Eberflus in Chicago, last night's win surely helps. Dennis Allen in New Orleans, there's some unrest among the fans as to what's going to happen going forward. But, you know, we see every year it's somewhere between 4 and 8, and a lot of it just depends upon how the season ends. And that's why the two extra playoff spots have been very helpful, because for a lot of coaches, the mandate is get to the playoffs or else. Well, okay, we've got 14 spots now instead of 12. That's two coaches every year, potentially, who otherwise would have been out, who get saved.
What about Buffalo? You didn't mention Buffalo. Oh. You didn't mention even the Jets. You know, I think it would be unfair, quite frankly, if Saleh eats it, because – you know, the Achilles popped, and even if he was part of the process that says don't bring in another quarterback in here, we got the room right. The offensive line, he didn't go and knock Vera Tuck out for the year. Again, that's just me caping for him right now. But what do you think about others? Because right now, the two vacancies you have now, you mentioned two others that we'll see down the stretch, guys, and three that you think's out. That's seven right there, Mike.
Well, And I inadvertently omitted Sean McDermott, because I believe that the Bills don't make the playoffs, there will be major changes in Buffalo, either GM or head coach or both, to get somebody who has an offensive background to get the most out of Josh Allen and the talent around him. But they have a limited window of years that Josh Allen is going to be the quarterback of the Bills. They've got to get what they can while they can out of Josh Allen. As to Saleh, I'm with you. They sold their souls for Aaron Rodgers, and the devil collected before they could even get a single drive out of it. This is all about next year. And I think the sooner that Woody Johnson comes out and says it, and I think before that, Aaron Rodgers needs to come out and say, I'm definitely coming back next year. And I think, you know, Rodgers maybe dangles that to get what he wants. Like, hey, I want to come back and play a few games this year, even though it makes no sense. I just want to do it. Oh, and by the way, I haven't announced with 100% certainty that I'm coming back next year. I think Rodgers needs to use his weekly platform, which is going to happen at some point this afternoon, and say at some point, I am definitely coming back next year. And then after he does it, that's when Woody Johnson needs to say, we're bringing everybody back. We're going to do next year what we were going to do this year if Aaron Rodgers had been healthy. So I think everybody should get a pass, because how do you get the most out of Aaron Rodgers if you bring in a new head coach? And there's no buddy of Aaron Rodgers out there that is just lurking to come be the head coach of the Jets. He loves the fact that Saleh is a defensive head coach and that the defense is good, and he can work with his buddy Nathaniel Hackett to take care of the offense. So I don't think you change anything in New York as long as Rodgers is coming back.
What do you think of I'll do it, because again, they're down right now in Columbus, Ohio. I'll throw them a little bouquet here. Vrabel's not going to lose his gig in Tennessee, is he? I mean, they'd be nuts to do that. But like every Ohio State fan, that's their dream right now, is if Vrabel becomes free and they somehow make that move and swing that axe collegiately.
I think the real question, Rich, with the Titans isn't whether the Titans should be thinking about moving on from Vrabel. It's whether Vrabel should be thinking about moving on from the Titans. Huh. And I go back to 2022 draft when he does the neck thing, when they traded A.J. Brown to the Eagles. And I know he won the power struggle with John Robinson, but there are still maybe some organizational things he's not thrilled about. Earlier this year, before the trade deadline, when there was talk about maybe moving a Derrick Henry or DeAndre Hopkins, Vrabel didn't want to have anything to do with a rebuild or a reset. I just wonder whether he decides on his own, I'd like to go somewhere else. And somebody told me on July 4th, somebody I know, somebody I trust, somebody who's been around the NFL for a long time, said, I have no information to back this up, but keep an eye on the possibility of the Patriots trying to get Mike Vrabel to be the successor to Bill Belichick. Now, everybody thinks Gerard Mayo has already signed, sealed, and delivered, but they put Vrabel in their Hall of Fame this year. So if there's going to be any sentimental pull for him,
yeah,
whether it's halfway between Columbus and halfway between Foxborough, I think that a great potential offseason story is the Patriots trade, as a practical matter, Bill Belichick, and whatever they get for Belichick, they use to go get Mike Vrabel to come back to New England and be the successor to Belichick there. That is all speculation. That is all just throwing darts.
Yep.
But I just – I think the question of whether the Titans are fed up with Vrabel is the wrong question. It's whether Vrabel is fed up with the Titans.
Well, Belichick said on his local radio appearance on Monday that it was, quote unquote, ridiculous that he already knows where his next destination is. What do you think?
Well, I think if he'd already know right now, yeah, it probably is premature. But even if he already knows, he's not going to say it out loud. Right? You're not going to come out and say, you know what, we've worked a secret deal already where the Patriots are going to trade me to the Chargers, and here's what the Chargers are going to pay me. I think when you guys reported on the Game Day show a couple of weeks ago, the context of the new Belichick contract, 2023-2024, and Ian Rappaport mentioned the Patriots aren't inclined to fire him during the season because they'd like to get value for him after the season. That was the message to everybody out there that's going to be looking for a coach. You got to deal with us if you want Bill Belichick. You don't just make your wish list and activate it the day after the season ends. We're not going to fire this guy on Black Monday or on Black Sunday, as it's become in recent years.
Yes.
You have to deal with us. So all that happens behind the scenes. The dominoes get lined up now, and then at the right time, the first one gets flicked. And the last thing Belichick would ever admit to is that the wheels are already in motion. This is exactly what the Dolphins were trying to do with Sean Payton and Tom Brady a couple of years ago. Line it up ahead of time, and then activate it at the right time. It's not the right time to activate.
So then one last guess that I'll ask from you. Normally when teams fire coaches early or during the season, it's because they want to get a head start, or there's somebody out there that they want to contact or under the radar, all of that stuff. Who might that be? Could it be my guy in college too, Mike, with all that speculation? What do you think?
Well, another Glazer nugget from not that long ago, the idea that the teams in the NFL have looked into the Connor Stallion situation and they're not uncomfortable with the notion of bringing Jim Harbaugh back to the NFL if that's how it plays out. But there was still that report. Again, NFL Network, the idea that the league is considering some sort of suspension that would be...
That's crazy talk. Don't you think? Right, that's crazy talk.
I know. But, hey, Rich, they do what they want. They do what they want. And I can say this. You can't. I can say this. Here's what they do. They figure out where they want to be, and they work backward to justify it. So we want to pander to the organization that's in charge of our free and farm system. We don't want to piss them off any more than we already do by luring their players here. So we're going to respect the Jim Harbaugh suspension. Let's find a way to do it. They did it to Jim Tressel. They did it to Terrell Pryor. They came up with a rule that somehow was violated, and they suspended these guys as an olive branch to the NCAA. So I thought that wasn't a mistake that it came out when it did, because it's a warning to anyone who's thinking about hiring Jim Harbaugh. Hey, if he gets suspended X number of games by the NCAA, you're not going to have him. I think it would be wrong. It would be a violation of whatever rules are on the books. But at the end of the day, they do what they want to do, and they make it up as they go. Again, I can say that. I say it all the time. They haven't gotten me fired yet, so I'll keep saying it. They make it up as they go. They do what they want, just like Cartman. I do what I want.
Nice.
And they don't care about the consequences.
So do you have a name? Anybody else then outside of Harbaugh? Anybody that you're hearing that is the hot candidate that everyone's going to be all over? What do you got
from college?
Or just anywhere? What do you think? Because this is all coming. You gave me seven. It could be 10 openings. You know what I mean?
And look, there's the usual suspects every year. The hot coordinators from the teams that have done really well. Ben Johnson last year removed his name from consideration. I'm always suspicious when someone does that. They often do it because they find out they're not going to get the job anyway. But Ben Johnson is the name that's been kicked around all year. Creative offense. Now, people are already saying Carolina. Again, I think anybody who's got options is going to opt to go somewhere other than to work for David Tepper. And there's going to be plenty of coaches who don't want to work with a 5'10" quarterback. I'd say up to 2/3 of the league would say, no, we want a guy who's north of 6 foot. Right. We don't want to work with a quarterback who's that short. So it's going to be hard for the Panthers, I think, to find a guy who's got choices. Ben Johnson may be the guy who has choices. And the job that's going to be the most attractive, if you're talking about choices, is the job that has the best quarterback built in. And by all appearances, that's the Chargers, if Brandon Staley ends up being out in L.A.
Mike, thanks again. On our way home, you can get it where all books are sold. Amazon, for sure.
Go to Amazon. Exclusively at Amazon. $3.99 for the ebook, $9.99 for the print edition. Everything I get goes to the Humane Society of Harrison County. And thanks again, Rich, for supporting the cause.
Attaboy. Well done, Mike. So it's exclusive to Amazon. Go to Amazon.com and put in On Our Way Home. It's for a great cause. It's a fun stocking stuffer, if you will. Mike, thanks again, brother.
You can curl it up and it'll fit. I hadn't thought of that.
There you go.
It curls up and you just...
See? Takes the Jewish guy to think about that. There you go.
What is $9.99? You can get a bunch of gifts for people for $9.99.
So simple. Take care of yourself, Mike. You be well.
Thanks.
That's Mike Florio, everybody, right here in the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, a door has opened for not one but two teams in the NFC to make a run. What do I mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Ah, that's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. It was rhetorical, but I appreciate the chime.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is a letter written in March of 1998 to Colts owner Jim Irsay, who at the time, a month away in the draft, the decision between you and Peyton Manning.
Right. Correct?
It's from Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh. Dear James.
Dear James, in response to your addled request for a quick $30 million loan to secure the services of the Manning kid, I have to say no at this time. But the Leaf boy is another matter. He looks strong and Manning doesn't, or at least not strong enough to handle that welcome to the NFL business for 2 years without a world-class offensive line. How are you fixed at left OT for the next few years, James? Think about it. You don't want a China doll back there when that freak sap comes crashing in. Wow. Okay, let me know if you need some money for Leaf. I expect to be very rich when this Depp movie comes out. Your faithful consultant, Hunter, and it's signed HST.
The absurdity of the fact that A, Hunter S. Thompson knew who I was, and B, that he was trying to persuade Mr. Irsay to draft me instead was just comical. And not to see it for 20 years. How does it? It's just nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
Right.
I called John Walsh of ESPN. It's 1,000% real.
Wow.
And Hunter S. Thompson was a huge NFL fan, and obviously had an opinion on the 1998 draft.
I think now that we know that a lot of people had an opinion on the 1998 NFL draft.
This is amazing.
Isn't that amazing? I love that line, is that you don't want a China doll back there when that freak sap comes crashing in.
The irony of all this, right? The irony of this, he would go on and start the most consecutive games of anybody. And I would be injured going into year two and miss the entire season. So we're just reminding people.
Strong, underlined.
Yes, strong.
Congratulations to Ryan Leaf and his wife, Anna, on the birth of their daughter.
Yeah.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 33 million people watched the opener of Thanksgiving Thursday's triple header. 33 million individuals. Unbelievable.
That's a lot of turkey legs.
And what they saw, well, somebody didn't get a turkey leg.
I know.
I'd love to know the TikTok of that decision that somebody in the Fox world, or I don't know who it was. Was it the Packer? It wasn't available to give Jordan Love a turkey leg.
But
Jordan Love and Rashawn Gary, if John Madden was alive, I was going to tweet that out. That's who would have gotten the turkey legs there.
Oh, yeah.
Rashawn Gary with 3 sacks.
Yep.
And Jordan Love. Hey, folks, remember late October, Packers are 2-4. They lose to Denver. And I'm like, hey, folks, patience. R-E-L-A-X. I actually said that into this microphone. Anybody out there is like, Jordan Love stinks. You can already evaluate it. 6 games in, he stinks. And I'm basically like, you know, welcome to the rest of us. You're going to have guys going up. You're going to go down. You know, can he be a Hall of Famer just like his 2 predecessors? Sure, why not? But right now at 2-4, somebody coming straight out of the box after sitting there for 3 years, it's going to be a roller coaster. Well, look at him now. From 2-4 to 5-6, and guess who helped open the door for Green Bay last night a little wider? The team that they own. The Chicago Bears did him a big, huge favor last night. And over, I guess, the last 2 weeks, last 2 games, the Bears had a significant role in what's going on in the NFC North, where they couldn't close the deal against Detroit, but closed the deal against Minnesota. And that now gives the Lions a 2-game lead in that division, 8-3 over the now 6-6 Vikings. Man, that one is going to leave a mark for Minnesota. And, you know, the Packers are now 3 back in the North, but I think the division is gone for Green Bay. But you take a look at the wild card race, and if they are getting after the quarterback like they have been, and the quarterback is playing really well, lights out, young receivers that last year were just too green for Green Bay and their quarterback, they are connected in the pass game right now. And look at who's 8th. And the Seahawks are potentially 2 games away from being 6-6 themselves. They're in Dallas with the way Dallas is playing, especially in that building.
Yeah, Dallas at home is unbeatable.
Green Bay, unfortunately for Green Bay, have the Chiefs coming up. But who the hell knows?
Yeah, Rich, we talked about that on the Overreaction Monday pod yesterday. The schedule is very favorable after week 13 for Green Bay. Giants, Bucks, Panthers, Vikings, Bears, all winnable.
No doubt. No doubt. So even if they're 5-7, they can go on a nice run, finish 9-8, which could be a wild card record in the NFC right now for sure.
Absolutely.
10-7 if they make a huge run. Would LaFleur get coach of the year then?
No.
Okay. It would be impressive.
It would be impressive.
And it's possible. This is not out of the realm right now. So what they got to do, you know, is finish up strong or even shock the world on Sunday night. First things first is you tell Mahomes, love you, guy. You're awesome. But your family is sitting in the upper peninsula of Wisconsin.
Last row.
Because that's what you did to our guy and his family. When he played in Arrowhead.
Put him in the building? So we're out of tickets. We're out of, sorry.
Put him in the last row.
Difference is Mahomes can afford to pay better tickets.
No, secondary market.
Maybe so.
True.
There's an out.
Half a billion.
You'll figure it out. Yeah, you know.
True.
So there's that. And then another team. Door open for the Los Angeles Rams, too. Because they have the tiebreak over Seattle.
I think you're right about that, man.
They've swept Seattle, and the first order of business when you are breaking ties is division first. And the Rams have a chance here. Their issue is they've got to go to Baltimore in one of these games. That's kind of like the Chiefs game potentially for Green Bay.
Yep.
They've got Cleveland coming in. Is it possible Donald is going to be chasing down Joe Flacco in this game? And then Washington and New Orleans here in Los Angeles. That last game at San Francisco, maybe San Francisco's sitting people? I don't
know. Exactly, resting.
The Rams
they
now have
5-6.
A door open.
Yeah, 100%.
Because
especially the way Stafford looked, Kieran Williams looked. Oh
if
my
they
goodness.
Beat Cleveland this week and the Seahawks lose in Dallas and the Vikings are sitting on their bye at 6-6, the Rams could truly enter week 14 in a playoff spot. That can happen. So the NFC 7 seed is like a sudden turnstile, possibly. And last week, the Vikings and Seahawks had 2-game leads on these teams. Not anymore. Things are tightening up as we hit December.
Yeah.
And we're hitting our second hour right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Omar Dorsey of the new show Bookie is in studio, hour two. Sebastian Maniscalco currently on Good Morning Football as well.
I saw the clips.
We're getting
of that,
him in though. Here too. Nick Bakay, the showrunner.
Fantastic.
Of Bookie.
Looking forward
longtime
to
friend.
We're all in. Now, Rich, when you say Bookie, I don't understand what that means.
Well, what does that mean? We don't get
when
that.
When you
right?
say Bookie,
it's what I call
somebody has books.
A book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for my children.
Got it.
Your bookie.
I'm doing what you do to me.
I know. I'm the unfrozen caveman NFL host. What do you mean by that over and the under? I don't understand it. But now, you know, we're talking about three-team parlays on good game day morning, so.
Yeah, we are.
You're back.
Good times are rolling for most.
By the way, your boy took a bath last night.
Who's my boy?
Me.
Ah. What bath did you take?
The first time, my boy.
You didn't take the over, did you?
I put the over down to 36. I was like, come on, what are we doing here?
How'd that look for you at 3-3 at the half?
It didn't.
Dude, I needed 10 more Hockenson yards.
Can I say that game?
For a big one.
Can I just tell you something? That game was not good yesterday.
Not good?
No.
I've watched the Patriots 11 times this year. That was the worst game I've ever seen.
I mean,
it was so bad.
Gents,
every time I looked up, there was a turnover.
Kevin Clark had the best tweet of the night.
What did he say?
We will be missing this game in May. And he ain't wrong.
No, I will never miss this game.
Absolutely not. No. You know what?
Excuse
That's
me.
Going on the poll.
Your sweat.
That's going on the poll.
Your sweat over Hockenson yards. You'll be missing that in May.
No way.
USFL will be
as we're sitting on one of the many off days of the NBA playoffs.